weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Wine Review with Nigel Beaumont.
First Friday of the month. I can't believe it's the first Friday in November, but I'm pleased to see Nigel Beaumont, who's here with our monthly wine review. And this time around, Nigel, we're looking at wines from the Alsace region of France.
Yes, evening, Julian.
Yeah, hello.
I thought that we would do that. It links to the German wines I did a couple of months ago.
It's kind of on the border, isn't it, between France and Germany?
Yes, and often
kind of
the
on
wine,
the border. It is on the border.
It is on the border. And often the wines are confused because they are a very similar style. And, you know, you'll get the Riesling from Germany, you'll get the Riesling from Alsace, and that is the most common.
And presumably they have a similar taste, or do the wine growers on either side of the border have slightly different techniques, perhaps?
They do, or traditionally they did. The German wines tended to be sweeter. We remember the Liebfraumilch.
Oh, yes. Sort of once tasted, never forgotten.
The French wines tend to be drier. Now, I understand that they are coming closer together. So there's a bit of sweetness being introduced into the French wines because that is the taste of the average drinker. Some of their Rieslings tend to be a little austere when they're young. Lessen the time for fermentation, leaves a bit of the sugars there. They're coming a bit closer together, but there is still a distinction between the French wine, French style of wine, and the German style of wine. So Alsace, well, northeast of France, below the Vosges mountain range. So that gives it a unique climate, actually, and also unique soil conditions in the Rhine River Valley. And the Rhine River separates France from Germany, as you know, Julian. And the capital is Strasbourg, which is often known for so many other things, but not necessarily.
Yeah, one kind of forgets the wine element of it, really, unless it happens to be a wine lake, I guess.
Mm. But I understand, actually, and I know this isn't a travel program, but Strasbourg is a fantastic city, very historic. Lots of good Christmas markets, or an excellent Christmas market. But relevant to what we're talking about, there is a Alsace wine route, which is a 106-mile journey taking in 100 wine villages.
106 miles?
Yep.
Okay.
And 19 of these villages host 26 Michelin stars restaurants. So it's...
Oh, now you're talking.
It's well worth visiting, both for the wines and for the food. I'm definitely going to do so. I haven't been there for a long, long time. Alsace, or Alsatian wine, as it's sometimes known, Vin d'Alsace, comes from similar grape varieties as those used in the German wines, and about 90% of the wine production is white. There are about 40,000 acres planted, and there are three AOCs, Appellation Origin Controle, of which the biggest is Alsace AOC. So if you look out for that on the bottle. As I was saying a bit earlier, traditionally French wine is fully fermented, making it quite dry, full-bodied style, unlike the German wines, which have a tendency to be sweeter. But there is a merging of tastes now because of the public requirements, I guess. So Riesling is the biggest and the most common grape produced from there. But the other one, which is quite well known, is the Gewürztraminer. Very difficult to spell, almost as difficult to say. But apparently, and I don't know the wine from Gewürztraminer, but it's supposed to be more approachable than the Riesling, which, as I say, can be quite dry.
Now, I don't mind the dry. I know we've had this conversation before. I guess it kind of suits my palate, and different people have slightly different tastes.
Well, it's what I associate with Riesling, to be honest. Mm. If it got too fruity, it wouldn't be a Riesling as far as I'm concerned.
No, absolutely. Well, I just generally, in my case, I just like the drier kind of thing. And I've noticed, I don't know, I guess it's the same for a lot of people, is that my palate generally has got drier and more savoury, for want of a better description, as I've got older. Not to say that I don't like chocolate still, but...
But that's one of the reasons why I'm not so keen on New World wine, because it tends to be a lot sweeter and fruitier.
Mm, it's a good point.
And I think we've had the discussion before that I do like the French wines and the French style. So really, if you're looking for a Riesling from France, maybe spend a little bit more money and get something that's been aged for a few years. That softens the edges to it and makes it much more approachable. There is a very good sparkling wine that comes from the area. It's Crémant d'Alsace. Crémant being the style of wine that is produced outside the Champagne region in France. I would say it's equally as good, although the Champagne region would dispute that, I'm sure. But it's a very nice sparkling wine, produced in the traditional Champagne method, and very drinkable as an aperitif, and also goes well with sweet foods. Much of the white wine in this area is produced from more aromatic grapes, which gives it a slightly floral, spicy nose to it. And Alsatian growers don't tend to put them in oak, so you don't get that depth and the spiciness that comes from oak barreling. It just is produced in stainless steel tanks. So there is no or very little red wine or rosé wine produced in the area, although you will see that some Pinot Noir grapes are produced, and those do go towards more likely rosé.
Just on the tank, I was quite intrigued by this. Stainless steel tanks.
Yes.
That obviously stainless steel has not been around as long as the winemakers. So what's happened, and what did they move from the oak towards stainless steel?
I think they would have moved from that, but we're talking about aging rather than the actual making.
Right.
Of the wine.
Okay. So it's not going to have that much of an effect on the taste and the eventual outcome.
Not on the taste of the young wine, but if you choose to age it, often aging in oak will give that greater depth of flavour.
Right.
It.
Okay.
And you'll find that in the Chardonnays and that sort of thing. So, as I say, very little red or rosé, but the Pinot Noir is one of the grapes produced there. So if you look at the four main grape types, you get Riesling, which is the most common, Pinot Blanc and Gewürztraminer, which I've just mentioned, and Pinot Gris, which is also part of a blend. The interesting fact, Gewürztraminer grape tends to be red-skinned. And I know we've spoken about this before. It produces white wine in Alsace. It means they don't leave the wine in contact with the skins for very long. So, but you know, if you see a Gewürztraminer red grape, don't be confused. The other characteristic of the area are the bottles. They have a legal requirement for bottling Alsace wine in tall bottles, commonly called flûtes d'Alsace. And you can recognise them, the Rieslings.
Are these the ones with a long neck thing? Yes.
Yeah, narrow and with a long neck. Mm. It's also called the Rhine wine bottle, so it's also common in Germany as well. Food pairings for Riesling, well, it goes really well with seafood, chicken and pork dishes, also with the Asian cuisines. Absolutely fantastic, and I can bear this out with goat's cheeses and charcuterie. So at Christmas, yeah, it'll go quite well with the Christmas ham. And Crémant d'Alsace, as I say, the sparkling wine, really good as an aperitif at Christmas, also goes really well with puddings. So it's an interesting wine. It's a niche wine. It's not the biggest producer in France, but some very nice wines come from that area. And as I say, in particular, if you're a Riesling fan, definitely worth a try.
Okay. Thank you very much for all of that, Nigel. We'll see you again in a month's time. I guess we'll be talking about wines heading into Christmas. But really, really, we don't want to do it if I can help it. But thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you then.
It's a pleasure, Julian.